Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Jahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
We hope y'all are all having a smooth day so far. Otra vez llegamos a otro miércoles. Thank the universe for getting us through. And yeah, we hope y'all are having a good one so far. Do we have any updates before we start?
Well, now officially we can say that our website is live.
Yay.
And now we have merch up.
And some of you already got your merch. So thank you so much for showing love and support. We appreciate you guys. And if you haven't checked it out, please go check out the website. Steph worked really hard to get it all set up for you all. So let us know if you have any feedback or if, you know, it's not working out or something. yeah. And like Steph said, merch is out. We got the t-shirts, the notebooks, the mugs, the stickers. Mm-hmm. You can find that all on cuentocrimenpodcast.com.
So go check out the website, browse through it, read through it. Let us know if you like it. Check out the merch. And if you aren't able to get some merch for yourself, we also have a feature on there where you can click buy me a coffee. And that's another way that you can support us. And if y'all aren't able to do that, you can always leave us a rating on Spotify or a review on Apple Podcast. So there's many ways y'all can support us, and we honestly appreciate any way that y'all do.
Yeah, 100% agree. Even just coming in every Wednesday to listen to a new episode, it means a lot to us. So yeah, so I think that's it for the updates. Pretty slow. I feel like we were like on the go with the whole merch, and then now it's like out, like the climax happened, and now she's like, shoo.
Yes, yes. So, it's been nice now to see the results, which is good. Okay, so enough with the updates. Now let's jump into today's case. El caso de hoy tomó lugar hace 30 años, and this was a requested one, so we are so glad every time we get one from the requested list and bring it to y'all.
We're slowly getting to it, though, okay? I mean, you know, we like getting requests because a lot of these cases we are not aware of. Like this one, we did not know, even though, I mean, it did happen 30 years ago and it seemed like a big case, but yo no sabía de este caso. So yeah, so while we started researching the case, it honestly like left us speechless, like the way that it turned out to play. And it was a very gruesome case. And like Steph and I were talking about it, and it seemed like something that you hear, you know, of a like child being abducted.
Nadia Puente era una niña de solo 9 años who was kidnapped, and her body was found just the day after.
And it's honestly a really sickening case, the more that, you know, we dived into it. Entonces, antes de empezar, we would like to give you all a heads up because we will be talking about sensitive topics. Les queremos dar una advertencia porque vamos a hablar sobre temas sensibles. You know, specifically in this case, it does deal with a child and sexual assault and murder and, yeah.
Y también queremos decir que hablamos de esos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
So, como dijimos in the intro, Nadia Puente tenía 9 años y ella vivía en Santa Ana, California. She was a fourth grader at the time at Diamond Elementary School.
And it seems like her life was good. Ella tenía su familia. She was a good student. I mean, she's 9 years old, you know, apenas va aprendiendo de la vida and just enjoying the little things of life.
Yeah, I think about like, because again, you know, like I work at a school and like I see the fourth graders, and like when they're in fourth grade, they think they're so grown. And I'm just like, you're so small. Like, sit down. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, what do you know about life?
Yes.
You know?
It's like, oh, I'm almost a fifth grader.
Yeah. Like, you, I mean, you're kids. Almost at the top of the food chain in elementary. But like, then you go to middle school and then you go all the way back to the bottom, you know? So I'm like, you're just a fourth grader. Relax. Nadia seemed like she was having, you know, like a normal life.
A normal and typical life that a 9-year-old should have.
Yeah. Pero el 20 de marzo del 1989, Nadia goes missing. And unfortunately, the searches for Nadia came to an end when her body was found just the next day on March 21st. And her body was found in a trash can in Griffith Park that was located in Los Angeles.
Su cuerpo fue encontrado dentro de una trash can. And it was inside a trash bag, and her body was wrapped up in a bed sheet, And investigators also noticed that her clothes and hair were all wet.
And, you know, as they're taking a deeper look, they realized that the bed sheets actually belonged to a motel called Ha Penny Inn. And we will get back to this. Like, it'll all make sense. But along with that, they also were able to find fingerprints que estaban afuera de la bolsa de basura. So that was like the ding, ding, ding.
Mm-hmm. Y hay muchos casos donde escuchamos que encuentran ADN, but, you know, it always comes back to not having a match. But in this case, it was different. Los investigadores were able to quickly identify who these fingerprints belonged to. And they belonged to a man named Richmond De Hoyo, who was 34 years old.
So Richard was arrested on April 1st, and they actually arrested him in San Antonio, Texas. And so they brought him back to California to begin the trial and everything. And like we said, the main red flag here is that he was a match to the fingerprints que encontraron en la bolsa de la basura.
Eso y también que su carro matched the description of the car that Nadia was last seen getting into. And then also investigators empezaron a preguntarle preguntas, and that's when it all comes pouring out.
Well, at first, Richard dice que él no tenía nada que ver con el asesinato de Nadia. Like, he was denying everything and anything. But of course, once the investigators made it clear that his fingerprints were the ones found in the trash bag, Richard por fin dice la verdad.
El 20 de marzo del año 1989, Richard se había ido de su trabajo y él estaba trabajando en Taco Bell. And apparently that day he had gotten into a, you know, bad argument with his boss, so he left extremely upset.
He then says that somehow, some way, he ends up outside of the Diamond Elementary School, where apparently he was like around the neighborhood trying to cash a check or something like that. But it's like, okay, so how do you end up in front of an elementary school? It doesn't make sense. So there he says that he first tried to lure in a young girl by the name of Sandra. Y que a ella le dijo que él era un maestro que necesitaba ayuda a mover unos libros because he was moving schools and that he was looking for some help if she was interested in helping him out.
And, you know, it seems like this little girl, Sandra, was aware that, you know, she shouldn't be talking to strangers. Mm-hmm. You know, la niña Sandra le dijo que she couldn't help him without her mom's permission. And so she just kind of carried on.
I think this is something that we like need to teach our children. I think nowadays it's like you hear it more often, mm-hmm. like stranger danger or like no hables con extraños or like don't ever get in a car with a stranger versus like the time period that this case mm-hmm. took place at. But I just feel like you just can never tell your kid enough. Like, mm-hmm. if you do not know the person, do not go near the person. If the person needs help, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. Like, they're yeah. grown. He'll be okay moving books by himself, you know? Pero desafortunadamente, a lot of kids aren't aware and, you know, they just don't truly understand the dangers that are out there. So when he saw that Sandra, you know, rejected him, he then tried with the next little girl he saw, which was Nadia, who sadly did fall for his trick.
And so later a witness that happens to be another student at the school said that él vio a Nadia with this man in a gray car. And this man was the same man que habló con Sandra. And the student also dice que Nadia was talking to the man in the car for a bit and then eventually gets in the car.
And this was the last time that she would be seen. So then back to, you know, like Richard saying his side of the story. Después, él dice que ellos manejaron to the Ha Penny Inn where he had earlier rented a room. Y ahí está donde se llevó a Nadia. Which makes sense, right? Because her body was found in sheets that belonged to this motel.
Mm-hmm. And I guess also I kind of want to add that like this witness that saw, you know, Nadia getting inside the car, it seems like this person also didn't have or understand what was going on, right? Mm-hmm. So, because how is this person supposed to know that this isn't apparent?
And I think like the witness was also a student. So it's mm-hmm. like also they probably didn't know really.
Yes,
like
exactly.
It could be a guardian picking mm-hmm. her up or something.
But now that, you know, Nadia is missing and then found murdered, I think that's when, like, people are recalling and, like, when was the last time that they yeah. saw her? And then this is why the witness spoke up. And so then Richard proceeds and tells investigators that he was playing the teacher role, needing help. y le dio unos libros and told Nadia to help him pack and sort. But after a while, Nadia picked up the vibes that she wasn't feeling comfortable and she wanted to go home.
And I think like she was asking to go home, but Richard was kind of just ignoring her. I mean, obviously he was not going to take her back home, you know. And so eventually dice que después he decides to take a bath. And so, you know, he takes his clothes off and he goes inside the bathtub. And he then asked Nadia if she could bring him a towel. And so when Nadia like comes into the restroom, I feel like any little girl, you know, you see like this grown man and naked in the bathtub and you're there by yourself, you're gonna freak out. Y entonces allí es cuando Nadia empezó a gritar, like, que se quería ir, que no quería estar allí.
And just a heads up, this is a trigger warning because we will be talking about the next things that happened and the things that Richard did to Nadia. Richard dice que cuando Nadia empezó a gritar, he freaked out and grabbed her and held half of her body inside the water until she went unconscious.
And after that, he said that he took her body to the bed and that is when he sexually assaulted her. Pero él dice que él nomás hizo esto porque Nadia no estaba consciente, which is hard to believe because it's like you already kidnapped her. You brought her to a motel. Like, I feel like the malicious intentions were there from the beginning.
From the beginning, because you're like initially lying to a kid.
Yeah.
Taking them away from their safe space, which is a school.
Yeah.
And I'm also wondering because like he also has, he knew where to go, mm-hmm. which was this like motel inn, right? So it just feels like he, you know, thought this out, you know? Yeah. And later the autopsy confirmed that the cause of death of Nadia was asphyxiation. So this means that she didn't die from when he was holding her body in the water. This means that he killed her afterwards.
And like we mentioned earlier, Nadia's body was found wet. Isu's fingertips were like wrinkly, like como cuando estás en el agua por mucho tiempo. But again, like her autopsy report says that there was no fluids found inside her body nor her lungs. So clearly this wasn't her cause of death.
They did find bruises all throughout her body, including around her private areas. Because of what they found, they do believe that she was sexually molested. And also Richard confirmed to this.
And it's just like so sickening to read about it. Like, de veras que caras vemos corazones no sabemos, you know? And it just sucks that Richard took complete advantage of Nadia's innocence. Como dices tú, he lied to a child, lured her in, and then completely hurt her in every single way possible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think here, you know, this person is presenting himself as a teacher, but he clearly isn't.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, stranger danger. Let's not believe anything that, you know, someone might be saying.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, moving along with the case, ya que Nadia was unconscious, Richard proceeds to confess that he wrapped her up in a bedsheet and then brought one of the motel's trash can. And then he put her body inside.
And like one detail that like kind of stuck up to me when he was confessing this, he's like, yeah, like I had to go get a trash can outside and bring it inside para esconder su cuerpo. Like, you know, I had to hide it from people. But it sounded like very like, oh, I have to hide it from people. And it's just like, you just murdered this innocent child and you still have the audacity to say that, like,
mm-hmm.
you know? So yeah, ya después de que, you know, he takes out the body, él después manejó a Los Ángeles to Griffith Park y dice que allí él esperó en su carro hasta que se oscureció para echar el cuerpo de Nadia en la basura.
Y luego he drove back to LA to the motel, turned his key and got his refund back.
And it's just like, it's so crazy to me to think about how like he did this horrific thing inside this room and just went, disposed of the body, como si nada, regresa, o aquí están mis llaves, muchas gracias, ya me voy. Like, aquí nada que ver. Like, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And then he just goes on about his day.
Like nothing happened. And also to like ask for a refund. Like it seems like, you know, he didn't spend the full day that he, you know, purchased. So he got something back since he was turning the key in early. That's crazy to me to think that.
Right.
That's crazy to me to like think that after committing a crime like that, to ask for a refund.
A refund.
And Richard also confessed that he would stay up to date with Nadia's case by reading up on newspapers and just kind of being on the lookout for updates.
Y dice que cuando se enteró que they had a car description that matched his, él decidió mejor irse a San Antonio, Texas, because he was scared that they were going to make a connection. And so he decided to flee to save himself.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like him going down the description of his actions just goes to show that, like, he is obviously trying to get away with it, but thinking clearly on how to get away with it.
You That's know? True. Yeah.
And as we say on this podcast, la justicia tarda, pero llega. And so they were able to find him and bring him back to California and arrest him.
Honestly, I'm just glad que al final del día encontraron la persona responsable por el asesinato de Nadia. And también me da gusto de saber that someone like Richard is no longer free. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he does not deserve to be out with the rest of society hurting whoever he decides to hurt.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I'm also thinking, like, in his, you know, step by step of what happened, mm-hmm. there was no sign of remorse.
Yeah.
It was just like me, like, oh man, like I need to flee and they're going to connect the dots and connect it to me. So I need to leave.
He was aware of what he did, even though that when they started the trial, su abogado quiso defenderlo by saying that Richard was mentally ill and that there's no way that he could have committed this crime, which mm-hmm. clearly it was premeditated because like he had this whole skit, que él era un maestro, que necesitaba ayuda. Mm-hmm. You know, he got to the elementary school. Mm-hmm. Like obviously he had a target. He knew how to lure mm-hmm. her in. It was all planned out.
Yes. And like I said, the way he's describing everything, mm-hmm. it's like he clearly is a sane person, you know?
Yeah. And then also just like the fact that he had already a motel. Like when investigators ask him, dice que supuestamente también se peleó with his roommates and that he was in the process of moving out. But it's like, come on, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? Like, it all happened the same day that you did this to Nadia.
Mm-hmm.
It's too many red flags.
Yeah, and I think it's like he got a place to go, right? He purchased mm-hmm. like the day to stay at a motel, but he did that before he got a child.
And then he turned in the keys. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you were really staying there, you would have stayed there.
Yes, I thought you were having issues with your roommate. Like, so where are you going?
Night? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so although we aren't too sure like what mental health issues were present there or like if it was true, if it was not, a mí no me queda duda que él fue a recoger a Nadia with bad intentions. Like I said, it was premeditated.
Mm-hmm. And thankfully, the jury and the judge did not take any excuse. They looked into this mental health thing, defense that they were trying to fight with. Because at the end of the day, Richard was found guilty. And in 1993, Richard was convicted of kidnapping, raping, and murdering Nadia Puentes y fue sentenciado a muerte.
So yeah, I think it's very tragic lo que le pasó a Nadia. Like, tenía toda una vida por delante and just, it just sucks. Like, the evilness of this world got her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it just makes me so upset. Like, a grown man doing this to a young girl. Mm-hmm. It just leaves me speechless. I can't wrap mm-hmm. my head around it. Por eso siempre decimos que caras vemos, corazones no sabemos. And yeah. I honestly stand by that because it's like, all right, you can be saying that you want to take care of my kid, but I don't know how you're going to be with my kid or the intentions that you have with my child.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yeah. I think it like the cases that involves kids really just hit different because they don't know.
Yeah, they don't. And you know? I think like, I mean, obviously to each their own, like every parent is going to like raise their child how they want to raise their child. Right. But I think it is really important, obviously not to expose them to like the gruesomeness of the evilness. Right. But mm-hmm. like the fact that there are people there that are going to try to take you. Like, there are people there that do this on a daily basis and, like, just emphasizing the importance of por qué no se habla con extraños, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, I don't know, my mom always did it with us. And I feel like sometimes like, ay, ma, like, you're exaggerating. Yeah. But it's like, the more you live, the more you see and the more you learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I, again, like, definitely not going to sit here and, like, tell my child, like, todo lo que está pasando, you know? But I'm just going to be like, hey, Ivan, like, this and this and this are possibilities. Y tú mm-hmm. por eso no puedes hacer esto y esto y esto.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's not me, if it's not your dad, if it's not your grandparents, no one should be picking you up from school. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the reality of it. It's a sad reality.
Yeah. And I think it's good to, I mean, I'm not a parent, but I feel like it's good to include examples, like, because there's so many tactics that people use. Yeah. Like, they can say, like, oh, tu mamá me llamó y me dijo que te tengo que recoger. Or tu mamá, like, she's in the hospital. I need to take you to her.
That's true. Yeah. You know? Anything. Yeah.
Because, like, imagine a little kid hearing that and, like, oh, my yes, mom, I need yeah. to go now. I think those are hard conversations to have with a kid, but. And then also I try to like imagine what a little kid might feel yeah. hearing these examples and this conversation. También como que pueden quedar como espantados.
Yeah, that's true. You
so want to scare it's them. So hard.
It's a thin line. It's yes. a thin line, but it's just like, how do I keep my child safe?
But you have to have these conversations, yeah, right? You know? And like maybe just hug them and like treat them out yeah. to ice cream after. Because
or, you know, again, just be like, no te puedes confiar de nadie. And like if mm-hmm. someone does say like, oh, mom's in the hospital, I gotta take you. Okay, can we go to the office so I can call my dad and see if he's there and see if yeah, I'm supposed to go with him, you know, or like something like
yeah.
some, I don't know. I still have to find out how I'm going to let him know.
Yeah.
So if y'all have any advice, let me know. If y'all have had this conversation with your children, how did it go? How did you, you know, say the truth without really saying the truth.
Yeah. Without getting into the details.
Into the details. Yeah.
You know, I think there's always like an age for
yeah.
certain more information, less information yeah, and whatnot. Exactly.
I mean, obviously, yeah, you're not going to tell like a 5-year-old everything, you know? Yeah.
No, no. But,
yeah.
Maybe this is a question I can post on for those that are listening on Spotify. I can post there and then we can have a conversation as to how to have this conversation with your child.
Yeah.
About stranger danger.
Yeah. Because I'm really thinking, sorry, I'm like saying, yeah, yeah. Because like now I'm thinking like, yeah, how am I going to tell him? And like, I overshare a lot. So I feel like I'm just going to be like, you know, and it's like, no, yeah, you're right. I can't do that because I also don't want to scare the poor yes. kid. But it's like, yeah.
Because I think as it will probably sit with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it would be a conversation that sticks with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think it needs to be very thought out.
Yeah. See now, yeah. And then now my mind is jumping and now I'm thinking about the movie, The Black Phone. It's a lot. Have you seen it? You've seen it.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay. Anyways, we're not going to go into that. But if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, definitely recommend it because a lot of horror movies or like thriller movies nowadays just don't do it for me. But that one was good.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good.
Oh, yes. I think that remember? One was scary. Dude. Yes. And I remember that the time that I watched it, I, you know, had my popcorn and everything. And it literally scared me. Like I jumped uh-huh. and my popcorn fell.
Aww.
Sad. Like literally like the, like a typical, like
yeah.
little commercial type like
when
thing.
They do, yeah. When they do the AMC
it
commercials.
Was, yeah. It was, oh my God. I was, yeah. I mean, I think I had a good portion of my popcorn, but it was just like embarrassing.
You're like, oh no. Yeah, so okay, like it was scary, but like it did, like I think it's just like some jump scares because mm-hmm. like certain scenes just like pop up, like oh shoot, mm-hmm. like what is that, you know,
like,
but
what's gonna happen,
yeah. But yeah, but I think like the message and I think like the plot was really good, like it was like I don't know, I think they carried out,
yeah, it's like the desperation,
yeah,
right,
the phone, like, you the feel phone. It with the character, so
it's
yeah.
a black phone, right,
as you say, black yeah. phone, yeah, yeah, the black phone,
yes, yeah,
yeah,
the phone, like the it ringing
yeah.
and then talking to someone else on the other end. Sometimes
or just also trying to find out like the predator's like mind and like why he does mm-hmm. it, you know? So yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not going to spoil it too much if you haven't watched it, but definitely watch it if you haven't. It's a really good movie. I really liked it. So yeah. Yeah. Stay safe. Keep your children safe because evil does not sleep.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that's all for Nadia's case. Thank you so much to the person who requested the case. I think I have their name right here. Hold on. Her name is Patricia. So thank you so much for sharing this case with us. And again, if you have any requests, feel free to send it over through Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. It's all Gwendol Grimmen Podcast.
Yes.
So yeah, so we can just write it down and we will see you all next week.